Now, I'm talking to Mr. Sam Davis of Creswick, who used to live here at the station master's house, or at the station. Stan, can you tell me a little bit about what you remember the station being like when you lived here, and when you came to live here?
We came to live here in around about 1930, and this is when the passenger service finished between Ballarat and Buninyong,
mm-hmm.
and my father and my uncle then had the contract for carrying the passengers by buses between Buninyong and Ballarat. And so we came to live here. My mother took over the job as acting station mistress, I suppose you could call it, because there were still two trains running each week, bringing out parcels and also taking back potatoes, cabbages, cauliflowers
and
all that sort of things that used to be delivered from here. And so she had the job of sort of looking after the good side of it and making out way bills and all that sort of thing. And my job was to see that the points were greased regularly just so that the trains could come out and go back again. And in other words, just generally look around the place. And it was a wonderful place, I was happy.
Uh-huh.
And at that particular time, too, it was in the middle of the Depression, of course, and there was a good shed here where the potatoes used to be stored until they were carted away. And
mm-hmm.
Mum quite often used to accidentally, on purpose, leave the shed of the door of the good shed open. So the swaggies, as we used to call them, used to come in and be able to stay overnight there and perhaps have a few potatoes.
Have a feed of potatoes
to cook there. And,
yes.
And Mum used to provide them with billies of tea and all that sort of thing. And they'd come and cut a little bit of wood from those. And, you know, times have changed so much that in those days, I can never ever remember my mother ever locking the door, back door of the
house.
Of the house. Mm. Everything was left open, and yet here's all these people that, on the dole, as you might call it, and with not a penny, and yet everything was so safe. And
that is amazing.
Things have changed so much.
But, and you were telling me a funny story about, was it you getting caught in the points?
Or no, this was
your brother?
That was my brother. Which
brother was that?
That was Brother Ian. And he was sitting on the points down near where the signal arms are, and the points were there to change it so that the trains could get from one loop to the other, almost down near where the turntable is. And he was sitting there one day, and his other brother, the young brother Ray, happened to drop the points down, and of course as the rails went, and they caught his rear end.
Oh dear!
And he still got the scar there to this day. I've got scars on my hand too, with the fingers broken, because my job was to also see that the points and everything that were all right, and the signal was right. And one Queen's birthday weekend, about supposed to be about 1932, around about that time, on the Queen's birthday weekend, I went along and I found out that where the cable had gone from the signal arm on the platform, which altered the signal down the road there, the chain had come off the pulley that went down underneath the platform. So I just happened to grab the signal wire to pull it back and put it on the pulley, but the lever was in the down position. And of course, as soon as I did that, the weight of the arm just pulled the chain all right round into the pulley, and my hand was jammed right round it and caught in it. But fortunately, I had a cousin with me, and she was able to lift the arm up again to get me out.
Oh dear.
It was in an awful mess, and the dad happened to take me. He was home in between runs, between Ballarat, and he took me to a Dr. Longdon.
Oh, Dr. Longdon,
in those days.
Yes.
Dr. Longdon, he was a carer of the chap. But he wasn't too happy being disturbed on Queen's birthday weekend. And all he did, he just looked at it, he got a bottle of iodine, poured the bottle of iodine on it, wrapped in cotton wool, wrapped it up, and that was it.
Oh.
And by halfway through the week, then the hand was in a terrible state. And the dad took me into hospital, into a doctor in Ballarat there, and he was absolutely disgusted with it. What happened was no fingers set or anything. But that was just one of the things that happened.
Now, how did your father come to get into the bus business? Because what did he do before he started the bus service?
Well, before he started the bus service, we had an orchard out at Cape Clear, or Western Creek was called, just out of Cape Clear, and the fruit trees got a disease. And there was 2,000 fruit trees. It was
2,000?
It was a soldier settlement block from the First World War.
Yeah.
It was from the First World War, and he was wounded in the First World War. And they got this disease, and every tree had to be torn out and burned. Oh. And so, middle of the depression, we were absolutely didn't have a thing. So we came to live with the uncle, Bill Glasson, and got him into Sebastopol.
Yes. Yeah.
And tremendous.
Bit of money on, and then they called for applications to run the passenger service between Ballarat and Bunyong.
Mm. And you said Glasson was his uncle?
No, Glasson was my mother's brother.
Oh, right, your mother's brother.
And anyhow, they got the contract to run the service between Ballarat and Bunyong. And then at that time, we had to come over and live here then, of course. So my mother took over the station and all the responsibilities. Mm. And they had an uncle ran the services. The uncle sold out to the dad, I get with the people, late 1930s or something. And became HLA, was made a service provider limited, which is still retains the name today.
Yes, though the Davis family don't have anything to do with the company now, since you retired.
Yes, we retired in, we sold out in 1981.
Uh-huh.
Some of the things that I can remember the old trains there, engine driver was usually the same engine driver, and quite often a bit of coal would accidentally fall off the tender onto the platform so as we could use it in the fire at the station.
Oh, and I believe there was no water at Bunyong, which is amazing. They had to bring the water out from Ballarat.
Yes, they didn't have a tower. I know many times the old train there with the load on and tried to get up the bank there up to Mount Helen there, and not be able to get out, have to come back and have another run out. They come out and occasionally drop a couple of trucks or something, they had to get up over the top.
Yes, this is a picture over there of apparently on holidays they had put a whole lot of extra carriages on the train.
Yes.
I imagine the little engine must have had trouble on the holidays getting up the hill.
I forget which one they used. It was either a Y or a D they used to have. I can't remember exactly what engine. But anyhow, in about 1935, around about that, I managed to get a job on the railways, and I was an apprentice blacksmith in my workshops down at Spotswood. And during my apprenticeship, I went from Spotswood up to Newport to work for about 6 months when they were building Heavy Harry.
Oh.
And I had the pleasure of assisting in some small way in the building of Heavy Harry, because I was in the heat treatment shop then, and they were doing the heat treatment on the undercarriage.
Oh, right.
Heavy Harry.
Yes, I've heard about this Heavy Harry.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I think it's on the video, the steam rail video that we're going to see this afternoon.
It's a beautiful engine.
Yes.
The day it's steamed out of Newport there was a big day.
Mm. Oh, well, thank you very much for sharing a few memories with us, Dan. Good.